Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside our friend, the star of the show, Mr. Arbor Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, we're coming up on the dog days of summer. I'm feeling it. How are you doing? How are things going for you out there?
You know what? It's interesting. I think out here, we're starting to see the effects of the wet spring. And trees are tanking. I get so many calls now. What is this? What is this on this leaf? Oh, my God, what's going on with this? Arborvitaes are dying. Everything's dying. So it's kind of a panic right now. And I'm getting all these calls from our listeners and our peeps. They're like, oh, my God, what is this? I got five pictures today. What is this? What's going on? I'm like, I don't know. But it's kind of a weird time of the year. But, you know, the weather, we had a storm come through today. But for all the tree guys in Southeast Michigan, a tornado kind of went through our straight line wind. There's trees down everywhere, so they're going to be busy. But other than that, Corey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm just going to smile and say we're doing great too. You know, we had one of the wettest springs on record here in the West. And by West, I mean Rocky Mountains. So, you know, Denver, Colorado, Utah, Idaho area. And we're seeing more people texting me leaves of different kinds of rusts and leaf foliar leaf fungi that we don't typically get. A lot of anthracnose too on things like ash, and it's kind of exciting because it takes me back to the days when I lived in the Midwest.
It is, and there's things that we haven't seen in a while, like oak leaf blister.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell the last time I seen that. Now that's popping up. I got. oak apples. When's the last time you heard someone talk about oak apples? That's popping up. And then, like I said, arborvitaes. They've been there for 20 years and one right in the middle. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Dead. It's never the one on the side. It's always an arborvitae in the middle.
So I'm like, well, you can pick one. Well, dig one up from the end and put it in the middle, and you can plant a little one on the end. And they're like, oh, my God. Why did they die? I'm like, I don't know. And then they look at me like, why don't you know? I don't think anybody knows, buddy. It's all good. It's cyclic. It's what we do. It ebb and flow. We'll get through it. Trees will still survive, and we're going to survive too.
Trees will survive. Trees are important with so much about what we do. And I think it's also worth noting that as climate change happens and as urban sprawl and urban developments occur, it's going to be increasingly more important to talk about trees and the importance of trees in our living environment. Are these conversations you're also having, Joe, with people over in Michigan land?
You know, I do. And our last guest, Joe, is a perfect example of direction we need to go with how important greenscape is in the environment, if it's a micro environment or the big scheme of pictures, that trees play such a vital role. And I think that's why you and I talk about preservation so much. You know, protect the ones that we got and plant more and just be a good steward of the surface of the earth.
I agree. And I'm looking forward to our conversation tonight. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a little bit different. So our guest is Dana Karcher. She's the project developer at Davie Resource Group. And she's got a lot of experience dealing with what Joe and I are talking about. So without any further ado, Dana, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, you guys. This is going to be fun.
Well, you say fun now. But,
but be nice to me, okay?
Oh, my God. Yes, of course. Of course.
Well, Dana, let's just kick it off with the first thing that we like to ask our guests. How did you get into forestry? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, it's a long story, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but it's a great story. I have a degree in political science, which some people say is really an excellent thing to have when you work for a lot of cities. And yeah. I do work with a lot of cities. But when we lived in Bakersfield, California, I had a series of part-time jobs. And one of those part-time jobs was to run the Tree Foundation of Kern, which was the nonprofit. in our city that planted trees in Bakersfield, California. And I took the job because it was a part-time job and I loved planting trees with my kids. And it grew and it grew into other leadership opportunities. I was on the board of directors for the California Urban Forest Council. Soon I found myself on the board of directors for Western Chapter. Then I found myself helping build the Municipal Forestry Institute. Then I found myself talking to a guy who's now vice president with Davey about a job on an airplane ride home from an ISA conference. And the next thing I knew, I was working for Davey. And my favorite part about this was that, you know, I learned from a lot of really great people, a lot of really great people. And I think that's the thing I love about this industry is that if I sat and listened at workshops, whether they were Western Chapter, California Urban Forest Council, or something like that, people would say, how can we help you become better and, you know, learn more? And it's that kind of industry. It's competitive in some ways, but in most ways it isn't. And I think that that's really important. So I've worked for Davey for, I worked for Davey for almost 10 years. And then I left for 3 years and I went to work for the Arbor Day Foundation. And then I came back to Davey about almost 5 years ago, actually August 1st, it'll be 5 years.
Wow.
Well, look at your 15 year pin.
Maybe there's that 3 year sabbatical in there with the Arbor Day Foundation.
So you're at 12 if you take.
I'm actually, yeah, they're really pretty good about, you know, counting it in terms of other things, but you know, we'll see. And I don't regret that 3 years at all. It was a great time, you know, working there. I helped them start a new program there and I left California and moved to Nebraska and it was really cold. And so it was good. It was good.
So, it's amazing. You listen to your experience. So you kind of, it's kind of a roundabout way. So most of your experience in arboriculture, urban forestry is in a leadership role as a director, manager, planner. Have you ever climbed a tree? Have you ever put the rope and saddle on and have someone made you do that yet?
I have put the rope and saddle on, and that's it. And I would love to have gone, and I'm a huge supporter of the Women's Tree Climbing Workshop, but I have yet to be able to go. It was sold out in Texas, and I can't go when it's here in Colorado, but I know I'm going to get there.
And, but Joe, here's what Dana might not know is that you and I are both going to be at ISA in Albuquerque next month, so maybe we need to pull her up a tree.
You know what? I'm coming in on Friday. So I'm leaving a couple of days early because I wanted to see the climbing championship.
I'll be there Saturday.
All right. Well, I know the peeps there. They're all the climbers. We'll get you some gear.
I think I know some of the climbers too. I think we're in a really good position. But we have to go on a tree really far away.
Do the obstacle course. We don't have to even go up. Just put the gear on and walk on the logs. It's just as fun. But I just brought that up because I was curious.
I think it's a really good point. You know, I'm a big believer in you know, Alex Shigo says you have to touch trees. And that to me is a huge part of what we do every day, whether we're urban foresters, arborists, or whatever title you want to give yourself as a person who works in trees. You have to commune with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Interact.
And you have to interact with trees. And no matter whether I'm sitting in a, you know, in somebody's office talking about tree inventories or talking about urban forest planning, at the end of the day, taking a walk in the trees helps us remind us where we are and what we're there for.
Well, let's talk about that. What is your day-to-day as a project developer? What does that look like?
So it's a really fun job. I love it because I connect people with opportunities to manage their urban forests. And whether they're managing a small part of their urban forest, whether it's, you know, a certain block or their entire city, the idea is that if you don't know what you have, you can't manage it. If you don't know what your community wants, and your community meaning external and internal stakeholders, you're going to have a difficult time getting things across there. The best urban forestry programs that I have interacted with or been a part of urban foresters, city arborists, municipal arborists, whatever their titles are, the person that takes care of the tree has a program that's very, step by step by step. And I've seen the worst programs. I've seen some of the best programs. But at the end of the day, everybody wants to make sure that their urban forest is growing, usually growing equitably, and providing environmental benefits for their citizens.
Now, isn't Davey one of the co-authors of iTree?
So Davey is part of iTree. There's a whole bunch of people who are a part of iTree, but Davey is a part of it. We're kind of the back end a little bit. And we've been engaged with it for a very long time. In fact, I met some of the early people before I went to work for Davey when I worked at the Municipal Forestry Institute who are working on iTree. And I think that is a tool, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's a tool that has absolutely changed the way we look at urban forests. It has provided us this opportunity to talk about values in terms of dollars and cents and benefits in terms of things like, stormwater reduction. And people, we never really talked about science and trees early on. We talked about the science of growing trees. We talked about how trees would act in science, but we didn't talk about the benefits that they provide. So iTree really did that for, so yeah, Davey's a part of that, but so are some, Casey Trees and other people.
So yeah, there's a lot of great collaborators on that. And it just dawned on me, we had a guest last week, Joe Kaplan. And I think what would be interesting if there was a way that, remember Corey, when he talked about maples being an economical wasteland in the environment,
and he goes, autumn blaze maples,
autumn blaze. But he goes, if you go to a red oak, the economic value as far as 450 pollinators or something use that tree for economic value and life and support their lives. I wonder if you could put that in that program.
Well, that's part of the conversation tonight is how do we get to the value of a plant, and how do you get people to realize the value of a plant and then come up with a management plan to get there? And I think what Joe's talking about is there is an environment value to most plants in the urban forest. With what you're doing, are you talking more about carbon sequestration, stormwater holding, or are you talking about some of the other benefits? I mean, you're talking big picture.
A big picture benefit. So there's a lot of ways that you can look at big picture benefits. You can look at the entire urban forest, which, we look at through a canopy lens. So we do GIS work and look, at the canopy. I'm sure you guys know about that. So you can take the value of the entire urban forest, your front yard, your backyard, your city trees, your park trees, wherever the trees are within the city limits, and look at the values through iTree. That's simple to do. But what's important to do is not so much what the values of those trees are, but what benefits they can provide. So here along the Front Range where we live in Colorado, we don't have a huge tree palette. We have a limited tree palette. So what trees are going to provide the most benefits? So when you talk about, red oaks providing a ton of benefits, absolutely. Absolutely. But when you talk about oaks in the environment in California, and you talk about them in California's Central Valley, oaks are considered polluters because they emit, right? I know. So people say, well, we should be careful how many oaks we plant, which I don't agree with or disagree, because their shade value and their stormwater value far outweighs what they emit. So
now, I'm in Michigan. Now, hold on. Now, I'm thinking, you said oaks are emitters. What are they emitting that's so bad?
California.
Volatile organic compounds, the same stuff you and I emit when we breathe. So, it's interesting. It's fascinating. We can carry on this conversation when you guys have me up at the tree.
Bad breath.
Yeah. So no. Well, no, I couldn't tell. We're on Zoom here, so.
I'm like, I never heard.
California, man.
So the San Joaquin Valley, where I lived, has the worst air quality in the country, right? So there was a lot of talk about trees and planting more and planning. And so we want to expand our tree palettes. We want to bring up more trees from down, beneath us. I want to see more sycamores on the Front Range. I think that they would do much better here than we think they will. Yes, I'd love to see bigger varieties of oaks, better varieties of oaks. And so that's the planting of the tree part, but there's also the planting of the management of those trees. Do you have enough bodies to take care of them? Do you have enough chippers to take care of them? Do you have enough people who know how to climb? Are you allowed to climb in your city? You know, there's all kinds of things that you have to look at in terms of managing trees that do more than just species. So that's kind of what we look at.
Is it subbed out? Can they do it in-house?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. I am, I will put a plug out. Do you know Lee Mueller?
Lee Mueller is my coworker.
I know. I want to put a plug out. And what an amazing resource that we have here in Michigan by having Lee. And I got a call into him right now to our listeners. Lee Mueller is with the Davie Resource Group here in Michigan. I had a topic and I wanted to talk to him about homeowners associations. They're little communities. And I know that Davie Resource, I'm going to say dabble. They're in there, but I want to be able to refer more homeowners association because most of them don't have inventories to understand what they have to create a plan to be prepared for an economic disaster.
Yeah, I would agree. And Lee is phenomenal. I've worked with Lee at two different levels because when I managed the Alliance for Community Trees program with the Arbor Day Foundation and he was with the nonprofit. So we both came from nonprofits. In fact, we have another project developer on our team who also came from a nonprofit. She came from the Sacramento Tree Foundation. So it's been kind of fun, but you're right. And talking to Lee would be great. We had an HOA in Texas where I lived and we had a huge oak wilt problem. And I was on their case because they would not enforce their own rules about oak wilt. And they got mad at me because I had a 4-foot trench dug to stop the oak wilt from the neighbors. And they go, you can't do that. And I go, that's the best way to stop oak wilt when your neighbor won't treat their trees. So
yeah, you have to isolate yours and that's the way to do it.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're very fortunate. And I think we hear of Davie all the time, but I don't think Davie Resource is up in front enough. Does that make sense?
Everybody sees our trucks driving around, you know, the green billboards, we like to call them. They're, you know, we pride ourselves on the work we do in tree care, but you're right. And in the resource group and having been with the resource group since for a long time, we always joke that we wear the pocket protectors in the company, but really now that's the Davie Institute. They're really wearing the pocket protectors, but you know, we have a little bit of different knowledge, but we work together very well. I've got some big projects with some of the Denver teams, some of the offices up there, and we use them as resources. They use us as resources. So,
Dana, you're a nerd.
Yeah, I am. It's true, and I'm the first to admit that.
Well, it's in great company.
as you're going through your career and you're talking about kind of these roles and these, you know, these leadership roles and these development. And you've taken on nonprofits and projects. Is there a legacy project or something that either you're working on now or maybe you've been working on in the past that you really, either you have a lot of pride in it or it means a lot to you?
Probably two things. One would be the Municipal Forestry Institute. And that was something that really started when I was with the Tree Foundation of Kern. But I was involved in that for 3 years. And I really, I was in the beginnings and helped to define what that would look like. And it's, you know, it's taken a year hiatus, but it's still going on. So it's really taught a lot of urban foresters how to actually engage their communities, which I think is really important. And probably the second, I don't know if it's a project, but it felt like a project at the time was when I was ISA president. That was a project. Although today I was texting Caitlin and I realized how much I miss everybody. I can hardly wait to get to Albuquerque and see the gang. So it'll be fun. I've enjoyed the conferences. I've enjoyed getting to know people. You have friends all over the world. You guys know this. You have friends all over the world when you're an ISA certified arborist.
Dana, did you see? I was just out there. I had a meeting with Caitlin and Alice about Arborjet, the company Corey and I both work for, became Canopy Partners.
Oh, good. So thank you. Congratulations.
And I am on the committee for the historical ISA's 100th anniversary coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple things. One, I had a chance to spend a day with Sharon Lilly.
Oh, fun.
Oh, my God. What a, you know, you talk with the 100-year anniversary coming up, again, what a legend of arbor culture. So she wasn't in the video back in the day, but if you look at everything that she's published or helped publish, she's written the direction for ISA. And she was a riot. So I hope that when it comes time next year, when we got the 100-year anniversary, that when we talk about the great strides of women in arboriculture, that we there's special recognition for Sharon up there also. But I took a picture of the ISA sign in front of the building, and there's a branch covering the ISA sign. So I posted it online, just joking. Like, do you think these guys know anybody in the tree business? Oh my God. The next day, Caitlin was getting phone calls on her phone. Like, how dare you guys have a tree like that in front of the ISA sign? And Alice had to text me that night and say, oh my God, Joe, what did you do? And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I put it on Facebook. I'm like, man, I didn't know I had that many peeps. But Caitlin, I got a bunch of calls and
it's been resolved.
I am so sorry. I pissed off the whole ISA community around the world.
Well, you never know what's going to piss off people, to be honest.
Speaking of HOAs, I'm just kidding.
Just kidding. Really? There you go. No, I was going to say, you know, going back to Sharon Lilly, she is an amazing woman, and it has been an honor to follow in her footsteps. You know, she was the first female vice president. And then there was another one, or first female president. Then there was another one.
She did serve as president, yes.
Yeah, she was president. And then there was Anne, and then I came right after Anne. And that was really fun. And it was very different. And I'm watching, you know, being in this industry for a long time, I'm watching women grow and make strides and not be put out, you know, not to be dismissed so much.
Yeah.
And there's some other, you know, some other people who I think are groundbreaking. Rose Epperson out of Western Chapter is an amazing woman. And she was, you know, an early role model for me. And I was really glad. I still call her, you know, a friend, and it's been great.
Oh my God. Look at, if you look inside, even under the Davy umbrella, what's it, Alex Julius?
Yeah. My vice president is a female. My vice president is first operational VP for Davy. Her name is Karen Wise. She's amazing.
Fantastic. Now, Corey, didn't we interview a woman steel competitor? Didn't she work for Davy? Has a woman in the steel lumberjack series?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But she works for Davy full time.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that right is.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to figure it out, because she's pretty amazing. I'm sorry. I mean, I feel bad. I forgot her.
Talk about, you know, leadership, you being a leader in a company that's being a leader, that's got to feel pretty good.
It does. And when I went to work for Arbor Day, I was already in leadership roles within the ISA. I was the chair of the nominations and elections committee, which is an elected position. Most people think it's an appointed, but people vote for the nominations and elections committee. And so I was the chair of that. And when I interviewed with Dan Lamb, the then president, I said, I'd like to continue with ISA and I'd like to run for the board. And he said, yeah, that's great. So they were very supportive of that. When I came back to Davy, I happened to have a couple weeks after I came back to Davy, I was with our CEO at a conference in Kansas City, no, in Omaha. And he said, so now what's next for you? You know, he was very, you know, what's next in the leadership front? They're very supportive of that. And I think it's really important. I think it's partly how we grow, if you're interested in that. It's partly how we grow as people.
Now, Joe and I, we like to ask our speakers, if you could get a message out there, and this can be to any specific group, or it could be to the whole Discovering Forestry podcast listener base. If you look back on your career and you think, wow, there is some really good advice, or there are some things I wish I would have done or known, and you could have an effect on the next generation of tree professional, Dana, what would that be? What would you say?
I mentor informally a lot of young women, and I always tell them, don't be afraid to ask to do things that you think you cannot do. So sometimes we get slotted into the, women get slotted into the inventory role or into the planning role or something like that. But if that's not what you want to do, if you want to climb trees, then ask to climb trees. If you want to do plant healthcare and you want to be that chemist, then ask to do that. Don't be afraid. And in companies, you know, there's some really good companies out there. We have some great competitors. And I would say in the majority of the companies, if you ask those questions, you will get the yes. And you just have to advocate for yourself. So that's one thing. And I did not do a very good job of that when I was first in this industry, because I didn't know the industry. I didn't know there was an industry. I didn't understand it. I thought I was managing a nonprofit and I was going to plant trees on weekends. And I didn't know that all the rest of this stuff even existed. So that's the advice I give.
Well, thank you so much for staying steadfast and not, I know you took 3 years off and I know it was valuable, but.
I still worked for the Arbor Day Foundation. I'm still doing trees.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. All right. I'll give it.
I was one of three certified arborists there. It was quite fun. It was quite fun.
Hold on. I got to pull that back up. I just had she's with the Davy Resource Group too. Alexandria Miller. Is that ring a bell?
It rings a bell. I don't know. You know, we do have people who come and go. So I'm not sure. I'd have to look up to see if she's still around. If she's keeping busy doing the things she wants to do, she's probably still around. So, but we do have, you know, somewhere around 12,000 employees. So
she has Davy all on the front of her jacket.
There you go. She's still there.
12,000 employees. Goodness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's ranked. All right.
So he's Googling.
I knew there was somebody in there, and I know she needed a shout out. For Davy and Davy Resource Group. Like I said, I'm privileged to work with Dan Herms and Jim Zwack and over at DITS. And I have a good time over there. They're great. There's so many great people within Davy. And you got to give Davy credit. How involved they are in the industry is pretty remarkable. So you work for a pretty cool company.
I do. Thank you. I'm lucky.
Well, Dana Karcher, on behalf of Joe, myself, the listeners, and I'm sure you've inspired quite a few over the years, truly thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done. And we'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks in Albuquerque.
Yep, we'll be seeing you.
Awesome. Thank you. So
thanks, you guys.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.